We're going to begin this morning in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 as we talk about being conquerors in Christ. Conquerors in Christ. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning that we can come to this time now of looking into Your Word. We ask that You would touch us by Your Word. We ask that Your Holy Spirit would move in our midst. God, we do pray if there's anyone who does not know Your Son Jesus as their personal Savior, that today they would receive Him as Lord of their life. We pray for every believer that we would be encouraged and helped through this message to realize that because of You, we are safe and secure. Our eternity is sealed. We have a job to do here, and we can do it knowing that we are the victors. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a story told of a photographer for a national magazine years ago who was assigned to photograph a forest fire, a huge forest fire, and he was having trouble because of smoke at the scene. He couldn't get good photos, so he called the main office and he said, "I really need to get an aerial shot of this fire." And so they said, "Well, we will make sure that we have someone at the airport. Go to such and such airport. There'll be a plane there waiting for you so that you can take photos from the air." And so he gets to the airport, and sure enough, there's an airplane there on the runway, all ready to go. And he goes and jumps in the airplane, and he says, "All right, let's go, let's go." They get in the air, and he says, "I want you to go over to the north end of the fire and make four or five low passes." And the pilot looks at him and says, Why? He says, "Well, we hired you to come up here to take pictures. I'm a photographer. It's what I do. I take pictures. We need to get pictures of this." And the pilot paused again for a minute. He looked over and he said, "You mean you're not the instructor?" Well, sometimes we get in a place in life where we feel like we're in a bind, don't we? And that's exactly how life feels sometimes, isn't it? It seems like whatever or whoever may be flying the plane of our life doesn't know where they're going and doesn't know what they're doing. But really, that's just how things appear. And from our vantage point, it seems that our lives many times get into more and more messes than we can figure out. But again, that's just how things appear. And so according to the Bible, the children of God are perpetually victorious people. We, in fact, can't always see it. We don't always feel it. And I'm thankful that my salvation and my spiritual walk is not based on feelings. It's based on truth. Amen. We don't always see it. We don't always feel it. We don't always live like it. But it is true, nonetheless. We are conquerors in Christ. And so the verse before us here this morning has brought comfort and hope and help to the hearts of God's children for a couple of millennia. And it reminds us that we are more than conquerors. In spite of how things appear to us, in spite of how we may feel many times, in spite of all of the circumstances that seem to be stacked against us a lot of times, we are conquerors. And so I want to spend a little bit of time on this verse today, because there are facts to be revealed in God's Word that clearly remind us that we are conquerors through Christ. And so you may not feel like a conqueror today. You might feel like an inexperienced pilot is at the yoke of your life. But regardless how you feel, there are words of hope and peace and encouragement to those that are discouraged, those who are defeated, and those who are overwhelmed by life. So let's take a look at this familiar verse. Number one this morning is the reality of our conquest. The reality of our conquest. And Paul uses a phrase here, "more than conquerors." And that translates to a word that only appears one time in the New Testament. And it refers to those who gain a surpassing victory. It means to be completely victorious, to carry away in an overwhelming victory. And it literally has the idea of being a super conqueror. A super conqueror. We are more than just conquerors. We are super conquerors because of Him who dwells in us. And so what's the Bible trying to tell us? What it says here is not for us to base things on how we feel. Because most of the time, most believers I know seem overwhelmed by life most of the time. And you know, we go through those periods of life where life is always overwhelming. We go through periods where it seems like there's valley after valley after valley, and we say, "Lord, when is the next mountaintop going to come? I just need to get on a mountain again." But God is using those experiences and those difficulties in our life to prepare us for who and what He wants us to be, to use us for for his purposes. And so Paul writes here that we're super conquerors. He uses a tense that suggests a present tense, an active situation. So in other words, he's saying that Christian, keep on winning a glorious victory. He's saying that even when all of life seems to be arrayed against us, we are still super conquerors. Regardless of how things feel, regardless of how things look to us, regardless of all the circumstances around us, have you gotten this yet this morning? We are more than conquerors. And that's the clear testimony of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 tells us, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place." And then in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory," how? "Through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so our prayer should be that we would accept by faith the promises of God concerning the victory that we have in Jesus. Our prayer should also be that God would help us live out that victory every day in our life, in spite of how things look, in spite of the circumstances. And I preach this message this morning because I feel like many times, and I feel like right now very often in our own congregation, we're just going through a lot of difficulty, a lot of hard things, a lot of tough circumstances. And some time ago, I talked about this exact passage in Sunday school because I felt like we need to be encouraged by these things. I want us to be encouraged this morning. You know, there's a lot of things in God's Word that are convicting, but there's a lot of things that are encouraging. And I want to encourage you this morning to realize that if you're saved, if you're in Jesus Christ this morning, you are a conqueror. You have been given victory through Jesus Christ. I want you to take this home, this knowledge home with you today, that I am not alone. And sometimes we get in the middle of the fight, in the middle of the battle, and we start to move away from Christ, and we start to move away from our time in God's Word, and we start to move away from fellowship in the church, and we start to move away from all of the things that can give us strength in the battle. I want to encourage you, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with this morning, get in God's Word, stay in prayer, be encouraged in your local fellowship, and pray for one another. I think one of the biggest downfalls of the church today is that we don't admit to one another that we have personal failures and spiritual needs. I often say it many times in our life groups when we're taking prayer requests. I say it's wonderful that we pray for everybody's aches and pains and all the surgeries and all that, and it's important, and we should. But how often does someone say, "Listen, pray for me. I'm just dealing with some stuff. I'm having a hard time spiritually. Or I'm struggling with some things in my life, and I need my church family to pray for me and to lift me up." You know what? If we would do that more often, I think we would see the victories in our life more often. I think that we would feel the working of God in our hearts and in our lives, helping us day by day through the situations that we're in. It's important to have people praying for us, and it's okay to admit that I fail. You know, it wasn't that long ago. Some of you may remember, if you were there in life group one evening, the day before on Monday, I had had a really down day. You know what? I can admit I have days like that. I felt depressed that day. I felt down. I was feeling defeated. And Tuesday wasn't a whole lot better. And we got to 7 o'clock Tuesday night, and we had our life group, and I asked the church to pray for me that God would help me in this, because I don't want to feel defeated and down. I don't want to feel depressed. And you know what? It's okay to have those times in your life. We're human. Humans have emotions. God made us emotional beings, and we're not going to be happy all the time. There's times we're sad. There's times we're mad. There's times we're confused. There's times that we get down in the dumps. Now, we don't want to stay down there. God can lift us out. But it's okay to tell your brothers and sisters in Christ, "I'm weak right now, and I need some strength and some encouragement. I need you to pray for me. Pray for my family. We're going through some tough times." You don't have to air all your dirty laundry, but let the church know something's going on so we can pray. Because we are more than conquerors, and we can help one another in the battle if we'll share what's going on in our lives. So our prayer should be one that would accept by faith that God has given us victory. The reality of our conquest was number one. Secondly is the realm of our conquest. Paul says that we are more than conquerors, what? In all these things. So most of us have the idea that victory occurs when we're living lives that are free from trouble. Now I have victory. Free from affliction, free from heartache. Oh, now I'm living the victorious life. But Paul says in reality, it's really something different. We're super conquerors in spite of everything that the world and the flesh and the devil throw out at us. In spite of that. You see, these things that Paul was referring to in our text this morning is in spite of all of our circumstances and all the things that bring us down. He's referring to these things that can be found in verses 33 to 35. Let's look at verse 33 of our text this morning. It says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." And so the fact of the matter is, Paul is telling us, in spite of those who would charge us, we're victorious over those who would challenge our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the worst things that you can ever do if you are raising children or grandchildren and wanting to encourage them in the Lord, okay? When they sin and mess up, do not say, "Now, a Christian would never do that. I thought you were a Christian." You know what Christians are? Sinners saved by grace. Sinners fail. It is not my job as a parent to beat my children down and every time they fail say, "Well, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were saved." Saved people. You wouldn't do that if you're saved. No, you know what? I mess up too. So what we need to do is come alongside of them and say, "Listen, you don't have to live in this sin. You don't have to be defeated by this sin. You don't have to live down there. Because God has given you victory, and He will help you overcome that, and He will help lift you up out of that sin and give you victory again. You have a living Savior." Instead, many times people get beat down because brothers and sisters are telling them how horribly they're living and how if they were really a Christian, they really wouldn't live that way. Now, you know between you and God if you're saved or not. I can't tell you. You can't tell me, but I know. Now, we see fruit in people's lives, and we say, "I believe that person's a Christian. I have a kindred spirit." But only I know. And it's not my job to beat you down or to judge you. We have a Father in heaven, and He's the judge of those who are His children. We are supposed to love one another, pray for one another, lift one another up, encourage one another. But there are those from within and those from without who will charge us falsely. But God has justified us, and nothing will ever change His mind. Isn't that awesome? Nothing will ever change His mind. We are justified before God through Christ. So we're super conquerors in spite of those who charge us. Verse 34 tells us we're super conquerors in spite of those who condemn us. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's making intercession. Isn't that awesome? We're victorious over those who would declare, "You're unworthy before the Lord." Well, guess what? Outside of the blood of Jesus, we're all unworthy. Outside of the blood of Jesus, we all deserve a place in hell. But because of Jesus, He died on the cross, He shed His blood to save us, He rose again from the dead, and we have victory. And so there are those who would condemn us, but Christ has already redeemed us. Don't let that deter you. Don't let that destroy you spiritually. We're super conquerors in spite of those who would charge us or those who condemn us. And then thirdly, in verse 35, we're super conquerors in spite of those who seek to confound us. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" There are those who would confound us. The world and Satan and his minions, they have ever been the enemy of the children of God, because they're the enemy of God. They hate God. He hates God. Satan hates God, so he hates me. He hates his church. He hates anything that is good and holy and just and right. He is the father of lies. He is the father of sin. He hates us. And there will be those who will be used to attack us frequently and severely. But in spite of everything that they throw our direction, we're still victorious over all their efforts. They can't defeat us. They can't destroy us. They can't take us away from the love of God. I want you to be encouraged by that this morning. We live in a world that is becoming increasingly wicked day by day. Every single day, it's getting worse. Every single day, the persecution of the church in America is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, we still have next to nothing based on many other places in the world today. There are brothers and sisters in Christ who right now are dying or will be with the Lord by the end of this message because of their faith in Him. But you know what? That's what many want to bring here. They don't love God. They don't love righteousness and truth. In fact, they call evil good and good evil. The Bible said that would happen. But we are more than conquerors. We have to realize that this isn't all there is. We get so earthly and worldly minded that we forget that this life isn't all there is. It's not about what I can get and attain and the jobs that I can get and the positions that I can get and the money that I can accumulate and the things that I can leave. If you want to leave something valuable to your family, leave a legacy of Jesus. Leave a legacy of a spiritual love of God and love for people and love for sinners. So they'll try to confound us, but take heart. Look at the list of attacks that the children of God face in this life in verse 35. It says, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. So tribulation is first there. That's to be squeezed, to feel the pressure. That's a common problem that people face. John chapter 16 and verse 33, it tells us that these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're overcomers, conquerors because of Jesus. Also in Job 14 and verse 1, the Word of God says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's kind of just a snapshot of many people's lives, right? That's how life seems. Life is short and lots of trouble, but you know what? We are victorious through Christ. Tribulation, distress is spoken of. That's literally a narrow place, distress. It's to be hemmed in by your circumstances, to be trapped with no way out. You ever feel like that? Many of us have been there in our life. Persecution, that's suffering inflicted because of a relationship with Jesus. And then there's famine spoken of, a lack of necessary resources. And by the way, famine in the lives of believers often is a natural byproduct of persecution. That's one of the reasons the early church gathered together and had all things in common and helped meet one another's needs because they were outcast in society. Nakedness is spoken of here, a lack of proper clothing, to be in a state of destitution. It's also a byproduct of persecution. Peril. The threat of imminent and awful danger. And then sword, the threat of murder. The cold, hard, death-dealing instrument that has sent many believers out into eternity. But we're told that in spite of all these things, we're more than conquerors. But notice it's not by avoiding these things, but by triumphing over them through Jesus Christ. How is it that you can go and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and you see so many of these martyrs in their last moments of the earth, on earth, they're praying for those who are killing them. They're praying for God to bring revival. They're praying for God to move in the midst of these people who are their persecutors, their killers, because they understood that they're more than conquerors. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So our pain and our suffering is very real, but it's also part of God's purpose. We have to remember His plan for our lives, His plan for each and every person's lives are very rarely the same plan. And so here's what He's doing. He's refining our lives. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, it says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's refining our lives. Just like a goldsmith removes the ore and impurities, God uses trials and afflictions in our life to rid the imperfections and the impurities of the flesh. He's remaking our lives. So when He finishes with us, we're going to be less like ourselves, more like Him. Romans 8:29, the Bible tells us, for whom He died, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then Ephesians 4 and verse 13, many of us know this verse, till we come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Our goal, the end goal of God in our life, is to make us conform to the image of His Son. Why? What did Jesus do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then he said to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do what I have done. And so we have to be molded and we have to be formed into his image. And so he uses difficulties and hardships and persecutions and trials. And thank God he gives us some reprieve in there, and he takes us to the mountaintop and gives us some of that time to recharge and refuel. And sooner or later, there's another trial. Just like James says, count it all joy. Is God's using that to perfect us, to make us the best instrument for his use and for his purposes. And then he is realigning our lives. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11, we see the illustration of Paul here. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So he said, so that I don't become proud, God has given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in the infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take no pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended for you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. He's refining our lives. The Apostle Paul had been through many difficulties, but God was molding him and making him into a powerful preacher of the gospel and spreading the gospel around the world. So God's working to bring us to a place where life ceases to be about us. See, Paul said, I want to be nothing. I want to decrease. Just like John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he can increase. And so his life has to cease being about us and be about him and his will for us. So the process is sometimes painful, but it's necessary if he's going to be glorified in our lives. So we have to remember that God will get more glory from our lives when we're being purified than when we're in those times of ease in our life. So we saw that, we can see that truth in the life of Job, and we can see it in us as well. In fact, when do you pray more? When does the Bible mean the most to you? Are you more likely to seek the Lord when things are going awesome or when things are tough? The answer is really simple and universal. We're more willing and more likely to do the things that we need to do when the heat is on. It's easy for us to begin to slip in our spiritual walk and growth when everything's going great. Thank God for those times we need the reprieve. But we have to also realize when God allows the trials and the tragedies, the difficulties, the testings, it's because he loves us and he's drawing us closer to him and he's making us into his image. Psalm 103 and verse 14. Our next text here, did we miss that one? There it is. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. So he knows our weakness, he knows our limitations. And he brings into our life exactly what he knows we need individually to become more like him. So there's the reality of conquest and the realm of conquest. And then lastly, the reason for our conquest. Paul tells us that the only reason we're victorious in this life is through him that loved us. That's how we're victorious, through him that loved us. Our victory does not lie within ourselves, okay? The victory is not down inside you somewhere. You can't reach down inside yourself and pull out victory and somehow find within you the ability and the power to overcome. No, the only thing in you that will overcome is Jesus. That's it. There is no good in me except Jesus. That's not a popular thought in many circles today, but that's what the Bible says. There's none that's good but God. And the Holy Spirit dwelling within me can help motivate me to do what is right. There's a reason for these things. Our victory rests in him alone. So consider for a moment what we deserve. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, it says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the souls of the Father, So the soul of the Son is mine, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The fact of the matter, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth will die. And so then think for a moment about the nature of His love. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, we're hopeless and helpless without Him, but He said, just call on me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Use the resources I have given you. And then what did He do to prove all this love for us? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, He knew that we couldn't live this life on our own. We could never keep the law. We could never attain to the holiness of God outside of the help of Jesus Christ. And so He made that ultimate sacrifice for us. The love of God for His children is so vast and it's so deep and it's so far-reaching that God wants us to know that nothing can separate us from His great love. You ever have those moments in your life where you felt like you were separated from God's love? You ever been in those moments where in the moment you say, God, where are you? What is happening? I want to tell you this morning, nothing can separate you. Verses 38 and 39 of our text this morning says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved by the blood of Jesus, you are in Christ. You are in the Father. No one can change that. No one can separate you from Him. And you can find victory walking with Him in your life. And you can find purpose and you can find His will and you can live it out. So there's a commentary here on the depth and the breadth and the height and the length of God's love for His children. And Paul tells us that none of the things mentioned in these verses can separate us from the love of God. That word separate means to divide, to put asunder, to divorce, or to put away. Nothing can do those things in my life with Jesus. They can take everything I own. They can take everything up to the life of the flesh. But whosoever liveth and believeth in me, Jesus said, will never die. We have everlasting life in Christ. Paul understood these things. So the word able in verse 39 means to have power. In other words, none of these things people fear so much has the power to divide us from God's awesome love. Do you believe that this morning? I think we sometimes get to a place in our life where we don't even believe that God can overcome what's happening in our lives. We allow ourselves to become so overwhelmed with the things of life, and we get so far away from our loving Father that we begin to think He's not there anymore and there's no way out. If you'll run back into His arms, He's right where you left Him. He will take you up. He will restore you. He will carry you through whatever is going on in your life and whatever comes. When we go through those things, we need to be assured in our hearts that even the pain and sorrow and affliction of life are evidence that God loves us. So Paul knew his share of trials and torments. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28, as we close out this morning, I want to look at some of the things that he dealt with. The Apostle Paul said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst and fastings, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He said, if anybody can talk about having troubles, I can. If anybody could complain about the life they've been dealt, I could. But you know what? He didn't complain and gripe about it. He tells us in verse 38 that he is persuaded that neither death nor life or angels or principalities, nothing can come between me and my Savior. He was persuaded. Are you persuaded? That phrase is in the perfect tense. It means Paul stands convinced and nothing can change his mind about the matter. Are you persuaded this morning that he is able? Are you persuaded that you're a conqueror because of the blood of Jesus, because of his saving your soul? Are you convinced and can nothing change your mind? Maybe you need to grow a little bit more in that. That's okay. We all need to. But remember who you are in Christ. We're more than conquerors. Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. It tells us that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He will strengthen us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, now unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. You see, we're more than conquerors. We're super conquerors. We don't have to do anything to ensure our victory. Victory is ours because Jesus paid it all. He paid the price. He loves us. He promised us his love, and he guaranteed our conquest of everything that comes against us. We are winners in Jesus. So are you convinced, though? That's the question this morning. Are you convinced that you're a super conqueror? If you're saved, you are. I don't always feel like it, but it's true. I don't always live like it, but it's true. And the Bible assures me that it is. So I'm interested in that truth becoming a reality in our lives. I want that to be a reality in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of our church family. We have to realize, you know what? We can reach a community for Christ. People say, well, people don't listen anymore. As long as Jesus has not returned, there are people who will be saved. There are people that he's dealing with. And you know what? As the world becomes more and more wicked and we think that people are moving farther and farther from the church, the truth of the matter is there are many who are beginning to look for something that is real and something that is true, anything that they can hold on to, because they've erased all the lines and all the boundaries and life is chaos. And they're looking for something that's true, something that's real. We need to live a life that is true and that is real, so that when they look to us, they'll see Jesus and be drawn to him. So we need to seek his help to live in victory, even when we feel defeated. Lay it at the feet of Jesus and leave the details to him. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you for salvation through your Son, Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone in this room this morning that doesn't know you, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would lovingly draw them, that they would desire to have a relationship with you. And Father, I pray for every believer. And Lord, I know there are some in this room who are going through difficulties. There's some I may know, some that none of us know about, who are going through challenges and difficulties and trials and tribulations, and they feel alone. God, may they seek you in your word and in fellowship with other believers and in prayer. May they be encouraged to remember who they are in you, and that you'll carry them safely through as they cling to you. We ask for your blessing in this invitation. In Jesus' name. Amen.